From Lake Wasota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
The movie was based on my life. What can I tell you? It's Monday morning. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow up here on Lake Wasota. Luke Mathers is manning the truckload of sarcasm down at our flagship studio. There will not be a rocket launch today, taking an uncrewed rocket to the moon as part of a new project. It says here that NASA's new rocket remained on the ground in part because of engine troubles that they were still trying to figure out. And yeah, you don't want to mess around with, you know, a liquid hydrogen line that could, you know, do bad things, shall we say. That part didn't bother me. I want everybody to be cautious. Obviously, this is a test. Basically, this is not a small thing. So this is what bugged me when I was reading something earlier before they scrubbed the launch. Now, they did note that Vice President Kamala Harris and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff were expected to be at the Kennedy Space Center Monday. That's fine. But it also says in this CNN article, appearances by celebrities like Jack Black, Chris Evans, and Kiki Palmer, and performances of the Star Spangled Banner by Josh Groban and Herbie Hancock and America the Beautiful by the Philadelphia Orchestra and cellist Yo-Yo Ma are also part of the program. What? No. What? Why does everything have to be the Super Bowl halftime show now? This is, go ahead, Luke.
I don't know, but I find it funny that both your Jeep Wrangler and this rocket both had their check engine lights come on at the same time.
Oh, shoot. I still have to check that thing. Oh, yikes. Okay. Well,
I was going to ask you about that. You got home from your road trip and you didn't get it looked at? Come on.
Well, I just got, you know, got back, and then I was a hermit all weekend. I'm not going to take it to the dealership, especially for a check engine light, where again, it could be just the most minor thing, or it could be that it will try to launch me to the moon. You know, when it blows up, I don't know, but I'll get around to it. That's why I don't work at NASA.
One or the other. It's either just you just need a top off of oil, or it's going to launch you to the moon. Who knows? Right. It could be. Yeah. It could be both.
So I'll keep you updated, or I just won't be here at some point. But I don't understand why everything has to be a production. There was a good article over the weekend about how college football has become unwatchable, in part because everything has to be a big production. Every commercial break now has like 8 commercials in it and messes up the pace of the game. But you have this $1 billion or you have this several billion dollar contract now for some of these conferences. And so everything has to be a production. You can't just sit and watch a game. You can't just test a rocket. You have to have Josh Groban there singing a song for something that might not happen. And it didn't. It did not happen today. I don't know where to blame this, but part of where I always will start a rant like this is when we started moving high school proms out of gyms and into, you know, halls, and then, you know, fancier halls, and then, you know, you had TV shows that tried to turn prom into a five-figure event for every family. And again, not everything has to be a big production.
Yeah, it doesn't, but my problem was in like a community center, like a giant community center, because it was just a big school. So the school gym that I don't necessarily think could hold us all, but I find that a fascinating thing, because it's something I've never thought about before. Your correlation between that's about the time when it happened, when for me, that was just prom. Like, I don't know.
Right. Prom is supposed to be something rather simple. But Grandpa's going to tell a story about his high school prom, because my prom entertainment was something no high school has ever had and nobody ever will. It was Florence Henderson, mom from the Brady Bunch, and Tennessee Ernie Ford, because our prom was held at the old Carlton Celebrity Dinner Theater in the Twin Cities. And yes, we had a side hall where some rock band was going to be playing, but you had dinner in the dinner theater. And so you got to see the first part of the entertainment. And so there's Mrs. Brady in a dress slid up to here and singing along with, you know, the old pea picker, Tennessee Ernie Ford. It was surreal to me enough on that note alone, but it was doubly so because I was there with the girl who had broken up with me a couple of weeks earlier, but we decided to go anyway because we'd already paid for the tickets and the tux rental and the dress. So awkward doesn't begin to describe how the night went. It was a short night. I don't even know if I saw more than 5 minutes of the band before we said, "You good? Yep, we're good. We've had dinner. We've used up most of what our ticket paid for." And away we go. So I didn't have the dream prom that you see on some of these reality TV shows. And frankly, it would have been a little better off being held in a gym.
I don't think anybody's prom is like what you see on TV or the movies. Those things are all just done up studio quality things for the movies.
I have to agree. I don't know that I've really talked to anybody that still looks back on their prom as being like the complete dream night. It was instead probably more of a hassle than it needed to be and more expensive than it needed to be. And I think that we should keep that in mind, whether we're talking about sports or launching rockets to the moon. Is sometimes it's okay just to have the event and just have it. Don't dress it up. Don't make it expensive. Just do it. Grandpa's done ranting about that now. There is a billionaire amongst us who we still don't know is a billionaire, and maybe that billionaire doesn't know that they're a billionaire. You may recall about a month ago that a Mega Millions jackpot of $1.3 billion was won by a single ticket sold in Des Plaines, Illinois. And yet nobody has stepped forward yet to claim it. Now, it's not unusual for lottery winners to take some time, get their affairs in order. You definitely want to do that when you're talking about, you know, $1.3 billion. But this is a little longer than usual for a winner to step up. And the winner has a full year to claim the cash before, you know, they lose it. I should have looked up how many times, and there have been some big jackpots that have gone unclaimed. You know, some people never knew they won or they lost the ticket, what have you. That would really be something if somebody had the chance to become a billionaire and they don't know about it. That tells me you just buy too many lottery tickets. I mean, it's special.
I'm just getting my affairs in order, Pat. It'll be one of those things where it dusts in the wind. As soon as I've got the private island purchased and all everything's taken care of, then just poof. That's the way I would do it. If I was gonna win, like you wouldn't probably hear about it. It would just be like, oh
no,
what happened? What happened to that guy? Oh, nobody really knows.
Here's what mutants my wife and I were once upon a time when we were relatively new in our positions and really liking what we were doing. We said, well, I mean, we would eventually stop working, but first we just kind of pare back because we're doing things that we love to do. We're over that now, where, again, we, like most people, would not even give somebody the courtesy of notice. There would just be, you know, that thing, quiet quitting, that everybody's talking about now?
I've seen, what is it referencing? Because I've seen the term quiet quitting floating around a bunch now. Is that what I just referenced? Is just poof, I'm gone?
Yes. Well, what it is people are feeling so overworked and so much demand, so many demands are being placed on them that quiet quitting is the new label for doing the minimum amount of work required of your job and nothing more. So, you know, it's almost like it's not quite a sick out, but it is on par with, again, doing the bare minimum of what your job requires. And I love that at first it was this thing like, oh, what is happening? We're, you know, all business is going to suffer and everything as workers instead of, they don't quit, but they really ramp down what they do. I've loved the pushback on the pushback. Yeah, they're doing their job. Instead of just giving away a bunch of your labor, giving, you know, so much blood, sweat, and tears at work, and you're not getting fully appreciated, you're not getting fully compensated. There is that continual push in some parts of the work world to squeeze more blood out of the turnip. And if you're in a place that, you know, you can maybe try to organize your workforce, that's fine, but most places can't, and a lot of people don't. So the fact that they're simply, you know, throttling back on you know, the demands they're placing on themselves, that's not an unhealthy thing. You know, Luke, you wouldn't be, I wouldn't begrudge you if you walked out of here at 11:01 every morning and didn't do a thing extra, but we appreciate everything that you do. See, I'm coming back to last week's free breakfast story. I can't offer you free breakfast. So can I just compensate you in praise instead?
Oh, there's a lot still that's on my to-do list once 11:01 hits around here. So I understand that. It's the quiet quitting term. I guess I don't quite fully understand, but you're not quitting. I was thinking that all these
people
were
not quitting. Well, you're quitting everything that is extra that you were doing other than the bare requirements of your job. I guess I just see that as self-care, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe it maybe is, look, it's certainly passive aggressive, you know, toward your employer if you're not communicating with her or him that, you know, too much is being expected of you. And again, you don't have to. You could go to your boss and say, look, there's just too much here. You're making me do much more than what I was originally hired for. Because if you complain, you know, they could fire you. So you know, if you just kind of throttle back on your own and then somebody says, hey, you're doing less, you know, again, you're doing what is required of you. And that to me is a healthy thing. But this is from the guy who spent about 10 hours yesterday on a Sunday sitting at his desk editing various, you know, video stories and feature stories so that I wouldn't fall behind to start off the week. So I'm not really one to talk about quiet quitting. Not happening in my world anytime soon.
I think it is an interesting dynamic, though, because I think since the beginning of the pandemic, there has been a much greater focus on work-life balance. And because since we're all online so much now, and a lot of people do their jobs still remote. Like there was a large shift to remote work throughout the lockdowns and the safer at home orders and whatnot. But there's just a lot of people that stayed in that mode as well. And so it's hard sometimes to balance what a actual work day or work week looks like with the fact that can be all online immediately. You can answer emails from anywhere now. You can log in and do a Zoom chat from anywhere. And so making sure that you strike a healthy balance, and for those that didn't do that as the shift stayed virtual for a lot of workers, I can understand the desire to kind of participate in a quote-unquote quiet quitting proposal, because if you're doing more and you're online constantly, you should be being compensated for what work you're putting out.
I do think the work-life balance, you know, probably gets dinged as a cliche, but I actually think that is a better way of putting it than, you know, this quiet quitting term that's going on out there. I have said previously that I have a great setup here. You know, I'm on the lake. I've equipped, you know, my home office with everything that I need to get things done. I can take frequent breaks to go, you know, fold some laundry or wash some dishes, or, you know, whatever the case may be, to the point where those couple of days down there in Madison last week, it was great to see you and it was great to see folks. I was spent by the end of it, of actually having to like go into an office and then just focus on that for, you know, 8-10 hours a day. I think we've had some very healthy trends. It's sad that a pandemic had to bring it on, but if you can negotiate a work from home arrangement, and if you can do it in a way that doesn't, you know, break up your family routine, you know, if you can find that balance, as they say, consider yourself lucky. I certainly do. And that's part of why I probably enjoy these visits so much with all of you. More in our next hour. We'll be back. You're up north.